evening, everyone. My name is Councillor Nick DeBoer. I now call this Planning and Development Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the council chambers are available upon request from the clerk's office. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. Are there any members of council who have to disclose a pecuniary interest? Seeing none, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of the Planning and Development Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be given the opportunity to speak first. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion on the item will take place at the meeting. The recommendation will go forward to Council for the consideration at the next meeting. So the first one is staff report 2018-5, proposed zoning bylaw amendment to remove holding symbol Alton Mills, Inc. Councillor Shaughnessy asked for it to be held. Staff report 2018-2, memorandum of understanding for the funding proposal for the rehab master plan areas 5A, 6A. Approved. No. Councillor Shaughnessy asked for it to be held. Recommendations from advisory committees. Heritage Caledon report dated December 4th, 2017. Approved on consent. Okay, Councillor Shaughnessy. Recommendation from Heritage Caledon regarding request to list non-disclosed, non-designated properties on the Heritage Registry. Approved on consent. No. It's held, Barb Shaughnessy. Recommendation from Heritage Caledon regarding 2017 Heritage Caledon Awards of Excellence. Approved on consent. Confidential staff report 2018-2 regarding advice from advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, litigation including matters all before an administrative tribunal affecting the town, appeals options, committee of adjustment decision, number A037-17-19691 here, Ontario Street West, Ward 1. Approved on consent. Okay, we will now move into the public meeting portion of this evening's agenda. The purpose of the public meeting is to gather input from the public concerning the application. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with an application being heard should be directed to the town's clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing further notification regarding the application advised to clearly print their name and address on the appropriate notification list located on the table at the entrance to the council chambers. Following the presentation, members of the council will be invited to approach the podium, clearly stating their name, address for the public record, and providing their comments. If you have presentation material, please provide a copy to the council coordinator at the desk to your left. Please note that any information submitted this evening will form part of the town's record. Following public comments, members of council are invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding information contained within the presentation. Please note the council members are here tonight to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or to debate the matter. We will now move to the public meeting application for draft plan of subdivision zoning bylaw amendment 21T17001 and RZ17-042560 Mayfield Road. Brandon Ward, Senior Planning Development Community Services, to confirm that notification was completed in conduct with the Planning Act.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Staff can confirm that notification was conducted in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act. Notice of application was mailed to all landowners within 120 meters of the subject lands, as well as advertised in the local newspapers on November 2nd, and similarly, notice of this public meeting was also mailed to all landowners within 120 meters of the subject property and posted in the local newspapers on December 21st of 2017.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. I will now call up on Robert Walters, Manager of Planning, PMG Planning Consultants, to begin the presentation.
Hi, I'm Robert Walters with PMG Planning Consultants, and with me this evening is Mr. Randy Eady, who's Vice President of Planning and Development with Amager Homes Ontario Incorporated. These are applications by Amager Homes Ontario Incorporated for 2560 Mayfield Road for rezoning draft plan subdivision approval. The subject property is located on the northeast corner of Mayfield Road and McLaughlin Road, just north of the City of Brampton limits. It's 19.8 hectares in area. Recently on the property was a dwelling storage building which had been demolished. The balance of the property remains in agricultural use. Lands to the west, to the north and east are primarily agricultural use. At the immediate north, southeast corner of the site outside the property line is a private school and church, and on the immediate corner in the southeast corner are lands comprising 2596 Mayfield Road, which comprises a dwelling to be incorporated into the future development of the secondary plan. The subject property and surrounding lands to the west, north, and east are part of the Mayfield West Phase 2 secondary plan, which was approved by the Ontario Municipal Board in 2017. To the north of the subject site, the planned uses include a secondary school and a park. To the west, an elementary school, a park, and residential dwellings. In the east, single detached dwellings. The subject property is designated by the Peel Region Official Plan as Rural Service Center, and the Town of Caledon Official Plan through the Mayfield West Phase 2 Secondary Plan designates the property low-density residential, medium-density residential, general commercial, and stormwater or storm pond facility. The entire property is zoned agricultural A1 zone. This is the proposed draft plan of subdivision, and it includes a C-shaped collector road throughout the property, which has two access points on the McLaughlin Road, both of which are to be signalized. The intersection of Mayfield Road and McLaughlin Road will also be signalized. The lots in yellow represent semi-detached dwellings, which provide a transition from future single-detached dwellings to the east and higher intensity uses along McLaughlin Road. They range in lot frontage from 7.62 meters to 8 meters. The lighter beige lots that you see on there are conventional street townhouse dwellings with internal lot frontages of 6 meters. And the heavier beige color along McLaughlin Road represent rear lane townhouse dwellings also with internal lot frontages of 6 meters. On the immediate corner of Mayfield McLaughlin in the purple area that you see there is a general commercial block which would be rezoned for primarily office, retail, and restaurant type uses, plus some exceptions that are permitted by the secondary plan. Approximately 2,900 square meters of gross floor area would be permitted on that block. The light blue block on the south end of the property represents a stormwater management pond, which includes a sediment drying area. And to the east of that, there's a white linear block running north-south called Block J, which will be deeded to the town. And the town, we have arrangements with the town to acquire the portion of the property anyhow at 2596 to allow that segment to be an extension of the Collector Road out onto Mayfield Road, which would be aligned with Van Kirk Drive to the south. And so within the draft plan of subdivision, we're proposing 160 semi-detached dwellings, 184 street townhouse dwellings, 98 rear lane townhouse dwellings, again, commercial stormwater management blocks, all new public roads and lanes, and the future extension of the collector to Mayfield Road. Rezoning application has been filed with the town to allow for rezoning from the A1 zone to various exception zones to permit the uses shown on the draft plan. The zoning is based on zoning being developed between the planners for the Mayfield Station Landowners Group, which is Glenn Schnarr and Associates in the town, and is undergoing further refinements currently. The estimates generated from the community-wide development servicing staging plan indicate that this plan would generate 1,352 people in terms of population and 85 jobs in the commercial block. As part of the filing of this application, a number of studies were filed, including urban and architectural design guidelines. These guidelines provide a full set of guidelines for all the residential and commercial built forms. They conform to the town's community design plan, and they include a priority lot plan, which provides for enhanced architectural features on corner lots along the Collector Road, gateway lots, elbow lots, curvature lots along streets, and terminus lots at the ends of streets. The two photos that you see in this slide are showing Gothic Revival architectural features, which would be included on all the corner lots along the Collector as a tribute to the existing character of Caledon. This slide shows the types of dwellings envisioned for the draft plan. The upper left corner shows a semi-detached dwelling. Upper right would be rear lane townhouse dwellings. You'll note that there's no driveway access as their garage is facing the public street as there's rear lane access. Bottom left, conventional street townhouse dwellings. And bottom right is an example of the kind of commercial development that you would see on the commercial block with a strong focal point, a gateway feature, and minimal setbacks to the arterial roads to allow for a comfortable pedestrian environment. The applications and the 15 supporting studies and other reports have been filed are designed to satisfy the draft plan criteria in the Planning Act under Section 5124. They're designed to be consistent with Provincial Policy Statement 2014 to conform the Provincial Places to Grow Plan 2017, conform to the Region Appeal Official Plan and the Town of Caledon Official Plan through the Mayfield West Phase 2 Secondary Plan. They also support the master studies, which were approved by the town in connection with the secondary plan, which includes the Community Design Plan, the Comprehensive Environmental Impact Study and Management Plan, Water and Wastewater Servicing Study, and the Transportation Master Plan. So in conclusion, we believe the application supported density and a mix of uses which are appropriate for and efficiently use the land and the planned infrastructure, which is a policy in the provincial policy statement. The zoning regulations are designed to promote cost-effective development standards and minimize land consumption and servicing costs. The application support walking, cycling, and public transit, especially with regard to the rear lane townhouse dwellings adjacent to McLaughlin Road. The applications promote high-quality urban and architectural design, and in preparing the healthy development assessment for Peel Region, we scored 42 out of 49 points, which is the gold standard. That concludes my comments. I'd be pleased to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you want to just have a seat here, and if there are any comments from the members of the public, please come forward. Okay. Okay, we'll have questions from members of council. So we have Councillor Befford.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I'm interested in intensification, and on the bottom of one of your slides, you had an 85 figure. You had residents, and then you had 85. Does that equate to 85 persons and jobs per hectare, or what number would you use for the places to grow intensification number?
Mr. Chairman, I'll just flip back to that.
The 85 are population-related jobs. They're actual jobs that would be generated in the commercial block. And the way this works is that there are population and employment targets, including population-related job and targets, which are retail jobs, in the secondary plan, which are designed to implement the Region of Peel growth targets, which flow down from the growth plan. So when you add the residents in this subdivision and the population-related jobs with all the other population and jobs in the other subdivisions in the secondary plan, it reaches those targets that are in the secondary plan.
So do you have an idea what that figure is for this particular project? Like, is it 60 people and jobs per hectare, or do you know?
I don't know the I don't know offhand. Staff would know, though. But the current target, as I understand it, for the region of Peel, which they're allowed to allocate over all of their lands as they see fit, is 50 jobs and persons per hectare. And as I understand it, under the new growth plan 2017, they're allowed to maintain that target until they do their next comprehensive review, and then it goes up to 60 jobs and persons per hectare because Peel is an inner ring city, and it's up to the region as to how do they allocate that density. Some areas will be higher, some will be lower, so I don't know what's slated for this particular area.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mayor Thompson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, if you can just back up one more slide for me. First, I have a question of staff. When it was notified, was a notification sent out to the Emmanuel Christian Church?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Mayor Thompson. Yes, notification was sent to the adjacent church property.
Did they send correspondence back?
Again, through you, Chair, they did request to be notified and kept apprised of any future meetings or decisions or recommendations being contemplated on this.
Okay, coming back to the planner, have you had conversations with the Emmanuel Christian Church?
I don't believe we've had any discussions with them. I haven't had anybody reach out.
Okay, the reason being is for them to get site plan approval. At that point in time, with the development groups and everything to allow them to go ahead, they had to build the church backwards. So it's not the front edge isn't out to Mayfield Road. It's back into the development that was required. They said under that condition at that point in time when I was regional councillor of the area is fine, but we want to be apprised and work with the developers so we all can work together. And so, like I said, like as a corner road frontage, there was an agreement that there'd be a road that would cross the go east-west on the north side of the property, as well as Van Kirk Drive coming up, which I see you've got. But I'm just saying that if you're proceeding forward, I would encourage you, and if you need contact information, I'm sure we can help you. But I do know some of those members have been asking me about this, and I unfortunately generally, they would be here. They've always been engaged on everything. They were also on the working group. And when we're doing the secondary plan, we hosted some of the workshops in their facilities. So I think it'd just be good neighborly act if you could follow up and have a conversation with the trustees of the Emmanuel Christian Church, if you could, please. Thank you.
Councillor McClure.
Yes, thank you. I've been asking some of the same questions. The density, what is the density? I was going to ask the same question. Is it 65 people per hectare? Or?
Again, I'd have to defer that to staff because I don't know what Peel region is allocated as the jobs and persons per hectare in this area.
Yeah, and if you got all your approvals, when are you going to start servicing?
I believe servicing would start after draft plan approval, but the actual building permits are slated to be pulled between 2019 and 2021, according to the community-wide staging development plan.
So it'll be 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. I have a question, and I get it from my residents all the time. Why do we keep building just houses and semi-detached, and it's really quite a heavy cluster? Why are we not going up a little bit and building condos? I have a concern for young people in Caledon that they can't even begin to get into the housing market because everything costs so much. And I really think as developers and planners, we need to look at other opportunities for young people. If not, Caledon won't have any place for any young person. So why did we not look at doing some sort of condo? And I'm going to ask something that I don't think I've ever got the answer to that, and I apologize if I have because I couldn't find it, about the height that we can go in this area. Somebody originally said, oh, it's because of the airport, and then somebody said, no, it's not, blah, 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 blah. But I really think we need to start going up a little bit, not just putting a mass of houses together and provide other opportunities. And I've looked at the other sections of Mayfield West next to you, and there doesn't seem to be anything different than what I'm seeing right here before me. And I think we're missing a huge opportunity, because the young people who can buy a condo, a one-bedroom condo or a two-bedroom condo, will eventually be able to buy the house. But unless they get into the marketplace, we've lost a generation of young people. So why are we not looking at providing that kind of a building here? Because it's right on the Mayfield corridor, which
maybe
we
give them a chance
have transit.
To answer.
Now, well, I have to finish my. It's right on the Mayfield corridor with the transit opportunities. To me, that's where you need to go up a bit and get that density, where then the other houses might actually have a bit of breathing room.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. The density that you see on this site is really a function of the secondary plan, which provides land uses. Which again are reflective of the growth targets that the region has set. And my understanding is that this is a greenfield area, so it's not a built up area where there would be intensification. So you do have lower intensity housing in this area, but there are blocks for higher density. There's a high density residential block on the Shannontown developments, which we also deal with further to the north. And I mean, I think the long and short of it is that there wasn't enough density allocated in this area to require a lot of high building form.
Okay. Did you want Ms. Tollett?
Through Chair DeBoer, I was just going to say, in the whole subdivision, that there's probably 9 different developments that's in there. Yeah. There is on the Spine Road with Spine and the McLaughlin Road Connect, there's actually a high-density block there that's contemplated to be a condo building. And transit is suggested to run down the Spine Road, so it'll connect to that area. And then it also, the Spine Road goes all the way up to the highway where the transit hub is projected to be, and commercial development as well. So it'll connect that way. When they were designing this area, they had a certain requirement for growth, and they're meeting that requirement, so they didn't require a lot of condo buildings. But when we do probably phase two of stage two, they would have to meet the new growth requirements, so there may be more density required in that area, which would mean more condo buildings.
And what about a height restriction? Well, you know what, it may go area by area, but what is the height restriction in this area, and can we make it go up?
So in this area, I don't think the zoning has been applied to yet, but our standard zoning in other areas where there is a height is usually 3 to 4 stories is usually what the highest we go. But again, the zoning I don't think has been done in this area. Yeah.
Okay, so the airport doesn't have anything to do with that, right? No, I'm seeing no. Thank you very much.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I thought I heard you say your density was 85. What did you say it was?
Mr. Chair, we said the actual number of jobs created on the commercial site was 85 jobs, and there was 1,352 population.
Okay, so I think for that area, the region of Peel, I think 74 jobs and people. I'm pretty sure, but we can double check it. Anyway, the concern I have, it's a dense community. Like, if I look at this, it's a very dense community. And so I know that one of the problems we experience in Bolton with our dense communities is parking. And so how is parking going to work here? Because what you find is you've got people coming in, they have a family, they've got children that are driving, and then there's extra cars, and most people are not using the garage, and that. So I don't know how parking is working, or is there sufficient parking?
Well, yeah. Mr. Chairman, we did actually have to prepare a parking plan, which didn't work out as well as we thought it, or we hoped it would on this property. If let's see here. The draft plan of subdivision that we have and the kinds of land uses we have don't have a lot of park frontage and that type of thing. So any kind of on-street parking that we have has to be between twin driveways fairly well, and we haven't quite reached the on-street parking targets that were required by the community design plan. We've been asked to look at that again. But there is sufficient parking, on-site parking on the lots in accordance with the city bylaw. And certainly there's an effort through the secondary plan to encourage transit and cycling and pedestrian movement as alternative forms of transportation in this community. But again, we are looking at the on-street parking situation.
Good, because it is a problem, and I will tell you, the denser the communities are, and now with the places to grow asking for denser communities, parking is a problem. And to Councillor Shaughnessy's point, going up is probably one that would resolve and address some of those parking issues, because we have to also factor in visitors. When people come and when they've got visitors coming in and there's no place to park, or there's holidays and that sort of thing, and you have no place to park. So we experienced that in Bolton, and I'm just, because it's been years and years of having those challenges. So I'm going to ask that you work very closely with staff to make sure that that gets addressed. Thank you.
Okay. Since there are no further questions, I will now close this public meeting. We'll work on the staff reports. Staff report 2018-5, proposed zoning bylaw. Amendment to remove the holding symbol from the Alton Mills Inc. Thomas Farm subdivision, Alton Village, Ward 2. Of a mover. Mover by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Bedford. And Barb asked for it to be held, so you've got the floor.
Who am I talking to? Whose case is this? Is that Brandon's? Is this your Rob's? Or both of yours?
Both of them.
We're a team tonight. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I have absolutely no issues with the holding symbol being removed, other than it's always sad to see a barn come down and houses. But I understand the MDS guidelines and the setbacks and all that. I totally understand that. This is maybe a marginally far removed, but when this came forward, I sent it out to some residents and they wanted me to ask, so I've got to ask. Their concern was they just want to make sure, because we've been going through a process with Thomas Farms, some details at the OMB where a lot of the old wording had changed. I think there were like 63 issues or something. And they wanted me to ask and make sure that that the truck traffic having to do with construction was not removed from that. And maybe this was more of a legal question, but this was my opportunity, that the truck traffic for Alton for this development was going to be continued going up Mississauga Road and come across Queen Street and in. So I don't know if either one of you can tell me. I know that, I think they were cleaning up the old OMB case, which was things like it was called a levy, but now it's DC charges and stuff like that. I just want to make sure, and my residents want to make sure that nothing was removed, that that is still in place.
Brandon?
Sure, thank you. Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Shaughnessy, the traffic or construction traffic arrangements will continue to remain as is. They will not be impacted by this application. And the language that you're referring to with respect to levies and such, they all remain in effect. They all relate to conditions of draft approval with the related subdivision.
Great. That's what they wanted me to ask you, so I've done my duty. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. And and we'd love to see the subdivision get going. Thank you.
Councillor Bedford?
My first comment, it's about time. Just a quick question regarding Dodge Drive. It's adjacent to the Thomas Farm. That won't affect that closure in any way, shape, or form, will it? There's been some real controversy about people not wanting Dodge Drive opened.
Um,
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Befford, to answer your question about Dodd's Drive, no circumstances change with respect to that. That drive will not be extending through into the Thomas Farm subdivision.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no further questions. All in favor? Carried. Staff report 2017-2 regarding memorandum of understanding for the funding proposal of the rehab master plan for areas within Caledon Village. We need a mover. Councillor Befford, Councillor Shaughnessy, and Councillor Shaughnessy asked for it to be held.
This is more just some comments, and thank you for all the hard work that everybody's done on this. I think it's really important to have some of the aggregate operators have some skin in the game. I know we're looking to them to provide some money for the master rehab plan. If anybody needs any help with that, I'm happy to help out and liaison. And I think once the whole project is completed, it's going to be positive. There's going to be economic value to the town of Caledon. But I can tell you that the residents in around Caledon Village who have been dealing with aggregate for the last 60 years with no end in sight, I think this is a really good news story for them. And I was really happy to help out in phase one, and that went really well. And I think phase two is another opportunity to engage the community in whatever way. I haven't seen the full rollout, but I think keep that community engagement going, because that I find that just makes things go a little more smoothly. So yay, thank you very much, appreciate it.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. This one is another one, long time coming. I remember Councillor Sinclair, when he was here, he always talked about having these pits rehabilitated and that, and certainly I know the one that C3 uses. That's a small example of how you could really use those pits and quarries to do some great things. And so happy to support this. Councillor Befford, I think your residents in Ward 1 are going to be very, very happy, because they've been asking for this for a long, long time. The only thing that I'm going to suggest is that when we do it, let's just get it right and make sure that a lot of consultation. And I would think there would be consultation with the residents. Yeah?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, Councillor Groves, that is part of it, just similar to phase one, and so phase two would be the same thing. There'll be a lot of engagement. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much. This is really good news. Thank you.
Councillor Befford.
Well, it is very good news, and certainly the folks have waited a long time, and our objective is to have passive recreation through that whole area. But of course, what that does is draw people to the location, and we expect many, many people. So I guess just let's not lose sight of the fact that we need some tourism infrastructure in order to make this work properly. We need parking areas. We need places where, you know, we need washrooms. We need change rooms. We really need to look at what's required to make all of this other work happen. And I know we will. We've got a tourism person on board, and I think we need to just keep at it. But there are many items that we will need along the way.
Okay. Thanks. All in favor? Carried. Next item on the agenda is recommendations from the advisory committee. So Heritage Caledon report dated December 4th. I need a mover. Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Befford. Councillor Shaughnessy asked for it to be held, so she has the floor.
I really was going to the next one, but I'll make a quick brief comment, because we've got a lot of heritage people here, and we just couldn't, like, you know, say click, click on this, and then you guys wouldn't have to stay. So I think you need to see all your hard work come to fruition. So I'm really happy to see the decision that we were awarding the Heritage Caledon of Excellence to two very deserving people. Paul Moran with the old Alton Town Hall. He's done a fabulous job on the restoration and rehabilitation of that building. Thank goodness somebody took it in their loving hands and did that. And then I had the pleasure of going through Sam and Luana Mora, what's the name of it? I just went out of my head. The beautiful home that we moved. Robinson Graham House or something, wasn't it? Yeah, Sprite. Fabulous house. Always one of my favorite in Caledon. To see it not get bulldozed down and pushed over, and look at the reconstruction on that. Who the heck wouldn't want that beautiful home? So thank you for your decision there. I think both of them were excellent. So thank you.
All in favor? Carried. Recommendation from Heritage Caledon request to list non-designated properties on the Heritage Registry. Need a mover? Rob, Councillor Mazzelli, Councillor McClure. And Councillor Shaughnessy asked for it to be held.
Sorry, guys. Anyways, I had a question from somebody today. They called me, and they said they had been going through the report, and it said something. We were talking about the houses in Alton, and I'm hoping somebody here might be able to help me. And they said that there was supposed to be like an Appendix A or Appendix B, and they assumed that all the houses that were being registered would actually be in that appendix. Can you tell me where this resident would find that information of what houses are being moved over to the listed
Ms.
section?
Paula?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, I believe it should have been part of the Heritage Caledon agenda or not?
No.
Yeah, you couldn't find it.
Yeah, it is there.
Is there?
Okay.
Maybe they just, is it in there and it has all the houses listed?
I didn't find it when I got the agenda, so is it there now?
So through the Chair to Council, yes, it is. It's included with the Heritage agenda, and we're happy. We can send it out as a separate document to the rest of Council if they wish.
Yeah, please, thank you, because I know I'll probably get more questions on it. And I think having that document easily, if it's in a PDF, I can just send it out. I think people would appreciate that communication. So once again, thank you, and I understand all the concerns. I did have a little bit of a plus and minus from some people in Alton. Some were worried, and I think we got them okay. And then other people were elated. So you can't please everybody and make everybody happy, but at least we can try and do our very best from a communication perspective. So thank you very much once again, Heritage Caledon, for your tremendous work. And I'm patting you on the back right now. Thanks.
Doug Befford, Councillor Befford, on the final word.
We took a long time making that decision with respect to what's happening here tonight. So what's the process now?
Through Chair DeBoer, Councillor Befford. So then this has to go to final ratification on January 30th. Once it gets final ratification, then notifications go out to all the property owners just to say that your house is being listed. And this is what listing means. And that's basically that step. This is also going to be forming as part of the preliminary stages of the HCD study that they're working on.
Okay. And that concludes the planning. Oh, all in favor? Carried. And that concludes the meeting for tonight. Thank you very much.